whistleblower. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, fine. Friday morning to y'all. Y'all out there. It's Friday morning, Friday. And, yeah, it's August 19th, 2022, 7:52 a.m. Yeah, it's late. I'm late. I'm getting a late start. Had a few issues this morning. Again, my cat is, has this obsession with tearing up my studio now. I don't know what's going on. I think the cat's going to have to go. Anybody want a cat? I'll just UPS him over. I'm sure he'll be fine. He seems to be indestructible. He'll probably chew his way out of the box anyway. I'll have to put him in a bag. Because, you know, you have to let the cat out of the bag. Getting the cat in the bag. I want to know who got the cat in the bag. All you have to do to know who... I'll tell you how you can find out who put the cat in the bag. Just look for the person with all the scars and bleeding from their face and arms. That's the person who put the cat in the bag. Much like the person who tried to give the cat a bath. That's the same thing. Who would want to put a cat in a bag anyway? It's just, you know, it's a waste of time. It's because somebody's just going to let him out. Interesting things happening, folks, this morning. We have the ever-shrinking little foam pads on my desk here that... They're just all moved around, chewed up. This is ridiculous. I can't work. I can't work in this step. I can't do this. I need a break. I need to go to my main headquarters studio. That's what I should have done this morning. I should have just gotten up, gone over there. Would have reduced a lot of issues. Got a drain in my basement that's apparently plugged up now. Most all my air conditioning and dehumidifier and all that stuff is all draining into that. And it's now backed up. Which isn't a lot of water, but it's a little bit concerning. So, as we're heading into the fall and the drier season and all that, it shouldn't make too much of a difference. I guess we'll stop using the air conditioner here in about a month or so. But now you know, because really what you need to know is what's in my cup. This morning there's a couple of different issues about the cup issue thing here. I got the family chai recipe, and then I've got Cinnabon creamer in there. What's interesting is the cup itself. It's one of my favorite cups, actually. And I probably should make a t-shirt. Probably my whole life should be, or maybe that my channel should be called this. I don't know. It says, I'd agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong. And I'm pretty sure that's the philosophy of my life, pretty much. You know, I'll agree with you, but then we're both wrong. But that doesn't make either one of us a liar. It just makes us wrong. Whereas in Liz Cheney's opinion, if you disagree with her, you're a liar. That's the lie. You're believing the lie. You're telling a lie. Apparently Donald Trump did a good job of trolling some people. It's really messing up all a whole bunch of Democrat races, I guess, in their primaries or something. I'm not sure what's going on. He's endorsing candidates now in the Democrat Party. Okay, he needs to be president just for this fact alone, just for that alone. That's enough right there. Okay. That is so hilarious. Now, I think he's probably doing it a little differently than I would have done it. But, of course, he does everything a little differently because that's why he's a billionaire. Anyway, it's pretty funny. So there's all this stuff. I want to kind of just revisit this whole FBI thing since everybody's still talking about it. There's some interesting things happening in this case. Listening to Robert Govea this morning, his show from last night. He got a there's all these appeals now, or the whatever you call them, the filings to try to get the affidavit. That was used. This is much like the affidavit that was used for the Steele dossier and for the whole thing about, you know, going after Trump and spying on Trump. They had the FISA court and all that stuff, and they had to have an affidavit. Now they had to have it signed, and of course there was FBI people changing things on the affidavit from yes to no, That's quite a switch. It's not just, was it blue or was it green? It was yes or no, this person is an informant or not. Yes. Oh, no, let's change that to a no. That'll look bad. That may not make it through. I think it would have made it through anyway. I don't think they read that stuff. They just sign it off. I don't know. Who knows? Unless, yeah. So then it's a secret court that they can use. Because that way they have due process. That's not due process. By the way, due process is your day in court, not them just deciding on their own. This is where it becomes very nefarious. And this is how it becomes weaponized against the people, against individuals. And it's reached its way all the way to the presidency. That's what's happening here. It should alarm everyone that I'll call it the deep state. It is the deep state. It's gotten that far. That's how far it has gotten. Because they have so vilified Donald Trump over the last 6 years that they think anything that's done to this guy, he's guilty of it. There was a, I wish I could find this. I wish I would have called this audio up. Maybe, let me see if I can find it here while we're talking, because this might be worth going after this. Guy by the name of, his name is Trey, but he's got a channel called Black Conservative Patriot, also called Open Source News, and TheRealBCP on .com, I think is his website. Anyway, he had a really good show last night, an update thing. And he had this audio clip of apparently a pundit or a commentator, who knows what the guy is. He's a leftist, which kind of epitomized the leftist attitude. And here's what he did. He actually said, well, I've got to call this up because it is, give me a second here. I'll find it. It's got to be here somewhere. I think this is it. Now, this is courtesy of BCP, and I think I've got it edited so that his commentary is out of here. I'm going to go ahead and play this. This is, I think it's Sam Harris, I believe, who's making these comments. And listen to the audacity of this guy. He'll talk about the specific crimes that are committed in the... But this is the arrogance of these people. Let's just take a listen here real quickly.
Well, Hunter Biden, at that point, Hunter Biden literally could have had the corpses of children in his basement.
Now, he went on to say, and I wouldn't have cared. I edited that part out because there was some overtalk and some other things.
First of all, it's Hunter Biden, right? It's not Joe Biden. But even if whatever scope of Joe Biden's corruption is, if we could just go down that rabbit hole endlessly and understand that he's getting kickbacks from Hunter Biden's deals in Ukraine or wherever else, right, or China, it is infinitesimal compared to the corruption we know Trump is involved in. So it's like a firefly to the sun, right? I mean, it doesn't even stack up against Trump University.
This is the outrageous ideal that these people have. This is Trump is so terrible, such a monster. He's so atrocious that regardless of how much corruption there is in Biden, regardless of how much payola he got from China and Russia and Ukraine and Iran, wherever it is he's getting all this payola and all these kickbacks, all the corruption that's affecting everyday life in America, it's affecting our national security. Everything that happened in Afghanistan, everything that has happened under the previous administration that he was involved in, it's infinitesimal to the corruption of Trump University. The problem with Trump University was that there were some disgruntled students who didn't pass because they didn't perform. It's... The difference here is absolutely unbelievable in terms of how these people think. They don't have your interest in mind. They don't care about the individual out there in the country trying to work and do their thing and trying to better their life. They want you on government support because they want you, just like this, I guess, is there some kind of stimulus check coming out again? When did this happen? I didn't hear anything about this. Is because this is going to become a thing every September, October. Now they're going to start putting out stimulus checks. The current administration has to put out a stimulus check because we've got to buy votes. Look, we're giving you money. Got to vote for us. We're the ones giving you this money. Make sure it's got the, you know, our name on it. This is the mode of operation now? Every 2 years we get a stimulus check right before election. That's how that works. It's kind of funny. Last time they did this, Trump wanted his name put on it. And the Democrats said no. It's like, well, you guys want to give everybody money out? Well, just put my name on it then. Because I'm the one signing it. they didn't like that. Because they wanted the credit for it. They didn't want to give him credit for anything. Because he's a monster. He's a racist. This coming from the people who have been the most morally degraded people on the planet. Oh, you don't think so? We could go down quote that rabbit hole if you wanted to. Start talking about the junk that goes on. Now listen to this. This is interesting. Tom Fenton with the Judicial. I need more chai. It's Judicial Watch is. I accidentally clicked on the. Clicked on that again. Shouldn't have clicked on that. The interesting thing about this is he. Back when Clinton had left office, took off with a whole bunch of documents. And the ones he forgot to get, he sent Sandy Berger in to get, and Sandy Berger got like a probation thing for going in and getting sensitive classified information out of the records, National Archives, stuffing them in his pants and his socks. Oh, he's just sloppy. Oh, you know, that's just Sandy. That's the way he does things. He just, you know, he'll just stuff in his, you know, he's just sloppy like that. Oh, you know, good old Sandy Berger. He didn't, you know, that's just the way he does things. He forgets that he has pockets to put things in or that he has a briefcase. He stuffs things in his shorts because he knows they won't look there as he's on his way out. So Bill Clinton hauled off all these documents. And when someone went to find the documents, I think it was Tom Fenton's organization. I think it was Judicial Watch that actually went and filed for the release of these documents. Well, the National Archives said, but we don't have those documents in person. They are in possession. Bill Clinton has those in his possession. So but you can still file to get those documents. And he filed to get the documents. And then Bill Clinton said, oh, we don't know where they are. They've been misplaced. They're gone. Oh, how convenient. And the National Archives basically said, we don't have to have them here. We only have to know that they're secured. Well, they weren't secure because they disappeared. And no one was raided. No one was charged with anything. No one was a criminal, of course, because that was, you know, that they wouldn't do that to their hero. But all of a sudden, and I'm telling you, this whole FBI raid thing is a setup for the indictment. They needed this optic of armed guards, armed thugs. I'm going to call them that. I don't care. They're trying to play this. Oh, you're saying that these fine FBI agents went in there doing their duty. Oh, I'm going to call you guys. I'm going to call you guys out. You need to stand up for the oath you took, period. When you're given an order that's illegal, when you're given an order that's ridiculous, I know you want to work your way up the ladder. So I'm sorry if it's going to end your career or whatever. You need to take a stand. I have actually multiple times taken a stand in a position I had in a job that required me to walk off the job by myself. It wasn't an effort with a bunch of other people. It was me I tried to work with management. We came to a disagreement. And I said, you know what? I cannot work here if you're going to treat me like that. And I walked out the door. That's where your morals take you. Sometimes it takes you to the point of, I'm taking a stand here. And right or wrong, whether you think it's smart or not, well, you're going to lose your job. You have to have income. Yeah, well, I'll work that out. I'm not going to lose my convictions over this. I'm not going to weasel around through them and say, well, you know, I'm just going to do this because, you know, I got to do this. I'll just do this. I'll just compromise right here. I'm not going to do that. I might suffer for it. I don't expect God to step up and say, oh, well, look at you. You did this, so I'm going to bless you with $1 million. You're going to win the lottery now. No, that doesn't happen that way. I walk away blessed with my convictions. That's what I have. I have my integrity. That's a blessing enough right there for me. I could be living in a cardboard box as long as I'm living a moral life. I'll be happy with that, knowing that I'm not hurting somebody else or that someone else isn't taking advantage of me. Because if they're taking advantage of me, they're taking advantage of everybody. And if everybody stands up like that, it's all it takes. All of a sudden, they realize the value of who you are. And it's that kind of moral fortitude. I'm not saying I'm righteous in that respect. That's not what... It doesn't make me better than anybody else. It just gives me peace to live within myself. And knowing that somebody has taken a stand for what's right. I had an employer. Unfortunately, this employer was a church. I worked for a church. I've worked for a couple churches, actually. This particular church was a mega church, pretty big sized, good sized church. And I had a middle management position kind of thing. I wasn't a pastor or anything. I wasn't in the ministry, but I was kind of in a leadership role. And I was part-time. I put in full-time hours. In the process of being there part-time, I think it was like 20 hours a week I was supposed to work. Maybe it was less than that. 15 hours a week. It was 15 hours. That particular position was 15 hours a week. And they said, well, you know, it's 15 hours a week, but we expect you to work more than that. And because you're on salary, we're giving you a salary, 15 hours a week salary. And we expect you to work more than that. And obviously, you know, if you do, then, you know, it's, you don't get paid for any additional. That's just what you get paid. You have job responsibilities and this is what we're paying you. I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know any better. I was like, okay. I knew that's kind of the way salaried workers were. I knew that when you took a salary like that, that's typically what happens. You usually end up working more than 40 hours a week. Well, that's only if you're at a full-time salary. The state that I live in, their labor laws say if you're not making at least so many hours of work, it was 35 or 38, something like that, almost 40 hours. If you're not making that in your calculated wages, at your base pay for that salary, if you work anything over the hours required, which would have been 15 at that time, if I'd worked 16 hours, they were supposed to pay me overtime. There were some weeks I put in over 50 hours of work. I got paid for 15. 15. 1-5, not 5-0. Had I reported them to the state labor board, they would have lost the case immediately. They would have had to have compensated me for all that. Now, I did not do that. I ended up resigning from the situation. However, even the best of organizations can find themselves in a situation where they need to know that what they're doing is wrong. Now, what they do with that knowledge going forward, sometimes they already know. Then it's on them. I was in a situation where I was given a promotion in a job, and I stepped up and did the job. They trained me, spent a week training me. I went from a B technician to an A technician in a quality control lab. This is way before I was married. This is when I was in my 20s, early 20s. Went from a B technician, which was kind of the lab grunt. You kind of did all the busy work. And the A technician would oversee all the B technicians. There were fewer A technicians. And I was on a weird shift. Wasn't on first shift. Stepped into the position because nobody else wanted to take it. I'd been there less than a year. And you're supposed to be there at least a year before you stepped into an A-tech position. But they were desperate, apparently, obviously, because they hired me to do it. So they moved me up into that position, took the job, was doing the job. On an odd shift, by the way. And usually, odd shift people usually make more. I was still getting B-technician pay. They told me when I took the position that I would be getting a raise. Of course, they didn't specify when I was going to be getting a raise. They just implied that with the A-tech position came a raise. It was very clear, understandably, that you take this position, you'll get a raise. And the implication was that at the time I took the position. So, took the position, started working, and after a month, didn't notice any pay increase. It was supposed to be a pretty significant pay increase. I'm sure I would have noticed it in my check immediately. 2 months went by. I finally asked them a question about it. Third month went by. All I got from my direct report was that, oh yeah, we're working on that. Third month went by, and finally I said, you know, I was told I was going to get pay raise for doing this job. Well, technically, you're supposed to be here a year before you get that position, so we can't pay you for that position until you've been here a year. I said, "Oh, well, then I'm not going to do that position then until you can pay me for it." And by the way, this is my resignation. Because I'm not going to be treated like this. Now, before I walked out the door, 2 weeks later, they asked me to retract. Actually, I was called up to the general manager's office about a week later. And he said, "I'm not telling you you can't resign. All I'm saying to you is that we'd like to ask you to retract your resignation." I was like, "Well, why would I do that?" And he said, we're going to give you back pay and we're going to go back and make everything right as far as your pay goes. I said, "Well, that's nice of you. I appreciate you making that right, giving me back pay." So that's an issue in and of itself. My resignation's another issue. I said, "And that's not negotiable. I'm not going to be the one who stands around and whines and complains, gets what he wants, and then does it the next, I'm not going to throw a tantrum. My tantrum's over. I requested these things a week ago or months ago. And the decision was made at that time that I needed to leave. We tried to negotiate. It didn't happen. So now you want me all of a sudden and you want to pay me to stay. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to stand around because the next time something comes up and I start throwing a tizzy fit, what you're teaching me and teaching other people is that if you threaten to leave, then you get what you want." No, I made the threat. I didn't make a threat. I told them I'm leaving. It wasn't a threat. You brought me to this point. It was your decision to not pay me. It's my decision to leave. Period. I gave you my 2 weeks notice. My decision's made. Now, At the same time all this was going on, the director of the R&D department found out about what I was doing. He said, when is your last day? So that's on Friday the 22nd. He said, why don't you come in on Monday the 25th and sit down with me and we'll have a chat. So, okay, I can do that. So I went in, talked to the guy. He offered me a job in the R&D department. Now, there was always this competition between quality control and research and development in that particular company. And it would have been the feather in his cap if he could have gotten me in R&D. They obviously liked me as a worker. And I was doing the job that supposedly you weren't supposed to be able to do until you had at least a year of experience as a bee technician. However, I had already made a decision on another job. I already had another job lined up. So looking back on that, if I would have taken that route, I probably would still be there. Well, I think the company shut down, but I would have been there for a lot longer. My whole life direction probably would have been much different. Maybe. Who knows? I don't know. But in the meantime, I learned a lesson there. I learned a lot of things about that whole situation. But getting back to that whole thing, I don't know how I even got off on this tangent. But we need to stand up for what's right sometimes. This guy, this Sam Harris guy, has got such he mentions all these crimes that Donald Trump has committed. What are the many crimes? This is a lot like this. The guy who, what was the guy? I played it the other day. Well, let's talk about the many. No other president has done the many provable crimes that this president has done. Well, what are the provable crimes? Provable crimes? I don't want to talk to you anymore. Name the provable crimes. What are the things on the statutes that he's broken? It's an absolute blind rage that these people are in. They feel like they have this, and this is what it is. It's self-righteousness, folks. It is a self-righteous, I'm better than Trump. Trump is a monster. Anybody who supports him is a racist. I'm not a racist. I'm indignant to these people. I'm indignant to this whole thing. I have this self-righteous indignation. Look at me. Look at my virtue. He appalls me because I am so virtuous. That's what's happening here. So they're trying to. Now it kind of amazes me that some lawyers who are commentators on some of these channels. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a Democrat. And I'm not an epidemiologist or a virologist or a life coach or a financial counselor. I don't give financial. I've got a lot of opinions. So what you do with those is that's up to you. It's your business. However, I hear some lawyers on some of these channels, and they talk about, well, this is a loss now for the DOJ because they're going to uncover, they're going to open this stuff up, they're going to unseal this affidavit. No, not necessarily. But the judge, this is one of those wave offs from the judge. This is a signal from the judge. The judge said, well, you know, right now, as I see it, they have no standing to keep this closed. This needs to be opened up. At least most of this affidavit needs to be opened up. I'm giving them a week or whatever it is. He's giving them a certain amount of time to redact statements. And then he's giving the impression that his hands are tied, that he has to allow the unsealing of this document, which technically, I don't think he can give them any time at all. I think he just has to unseal it. But he's playing this game. It sounds reasonable, so everybody's going to let him get away with it. But again, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know. So he's giving them a week to redact things. In the process, he said, as it stands right now without any further data, whatever, however he says it, In other words, he's telling them, you need to file more stuff in order for me to keep this closed. It was his, you know, this, you saw this, even anybody who's watched Matlock has seen this happen. You know, Matlock was always, he'd ask the defendant a question. And then he, knowing full well that the question was going to be objected to, and it wasn't going to be allowed by the judge, he would ask the question because the jury was sitting there listening. He would ask the question to plant the question in their mind. And then they would object and say, oh, I withdraw the question. Well, the question's already in their head. It's not going to go in the court documents, but it's going to go in the jury's head. That's all he cared about. This judge was pulling one of those stunts. He was waving to the prosecution saying, you need to come back with some more information here so we can keep this thing shut. Giving them time to do it. And if you don't have time to do it, you've got time to redact everything. All you're going to get is a bunch of blacked out papers. Because we have to protect the whistleblowers. We have to protect the agents. We have to protect all these people that are, we have to protect all this tops. It's sensitive information in this affidavit. Really? This is what they hide behind all the time. This is much like, well, we can't make any comments on an ongoing investigation. We can't comment on Hunter Biden because he's under investigation right now. Really? Are you ever going to do anything with the guy? You don't have enough evidence to know that he was doing crack and smoking this and doing that and messing around with prostitutes and underaged individuals? You don't have enough evidence for that? You're still investigating all that stuff? How long does it take to investigate that stuff? If I went out and did that stuff today, how long would it take for me to be investigated? A couple of years? A few years? 5, 6, 7 years? Before you actually, before statute of limitations ran out. They're doing this on purpose, folks. They've picked what political party they want to work with because it's easy for them to work with the Democrats because they can keep the dirt on them. So they open these broad, wide sweeping investigations that can go 2 or 3 people deep, which is how they got, that's how they spied on Trump. They went after Carter Page. Carter Page was part of the campaign group, and he, all they had to do was spy on Carter Page, who was an asset, worked for the, he was some kind of an informant for one of the intelligence agencies. And here he is working for them. So they spy on him because of this whole thing with Papadopoulos, this whole made-up thing that was going on. They've never charged Carter Page for anything. But they supposedly had him under suspicion because they were spying on him. They were tracking his phone, but they knew that he was close enough that they could track his phone, and I think they can go too deep. So anybody he talks to, they can talk to anybody he talks to. They can listen to them as well. It is the biggest scam on the American people to think that they have any kind of integrity at all. They learned this stuff from the Stasi. They learned this stuff from the Soviet special police, secret police. And this is the same way they would cover things up in Russia as well. This is all socialist stuff. This is all the way it all works. And I don't remember if you remember, we had a whistleblower back in during the Trump impeachment process. Adam Schiff was going after Trump because of this whistleblower, the whistleblower, the whistleblower. We have to protect the whistleblower. I think he said whistleblower, the term whistleblower, at least 3,442 times that I counted, just in one little statement. And then that's questionable whether there even was a whistleblower. The whistleblower was probably somebody who worked for Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff, not Adam Shift. I don't know why I keep saying Adam Shift. Because he's so shifty. This guy, apparently, he either worked for Adam Schiff or maybe there wasn't even somebody who worked for Adam Schiff. It was just Adam himself making this stuff up. We got a whistleblower. He just makes this stuff up. Because in Adam Schiff's head, he can do no wrong. I don't know if you realize this, but his poop doesn't stink. He's just one of those people who thinks that he's so far above everybody else, and he's the moral carrier. He's the keeper of the light. And all the time, all the while, anything he does is justified by the fact that he's going after Trump. He's going to be the one who brings down the monster. He's going to be the dragon slayer. Don't fear anyone. Just step behind me. I'll take care of the dragon for you with my sword of made up stuff. This is what we got. This is what we're dealing with, folks. And you can not listen to me if you don't want to hear negative stuff. That's fine. Tune me out if you want to. We've got to face what we're up against here, folks. Ignoring the fact that the monster is outside the door, that the bear is clawing in, it's not going to make the bear go away. We need to come up with a plan. First of all, we need to know our adversary. We need to understand what our adversary is about. And yes, it is an adversary. And an interesting comment made by somebody, I can't remember what I was listening to. It was on the radio, and I believe it might have been on Casey Hendricks. He's playing, and I think he was actually playing an interview that somebody else had. And they were talking about how the left has declared war on America a long time ago, on the foundation, the founding principles, and the whole Constitution and the founding of the what our country is about. They've declared war many, many years ago. In fact, probably 1913, when the progressives started taking in Woodrow Wilson and all the stuff that started happening. That's really kind of came in three waves, and it comes and goes, but they continue to make advances because that's what they are. They're the Progressive Party. They continue to progress forward into what their agenda is. And he said, the rest of the nation has kind of ignored them. Like, well, they're not going to win. That's just going to never happen. Nobody's. The Communist Party, I remember back in the day when I was a kid, I remember Communist Party actually was a party that ran. It was a third party type thing that was nobody really heard much about, but that they would get like 0.01% of the vote or something back when I was a kid. But how ridiculous. But they had, it was free country. They were an actual party, registered party. And they were out there running on communist principles. Well, that expanded and grew and became the socialist group. We believe in democratic socialism. It's democratic. We can vote socialism in. It's still socialism. Is it just because socialism's bad, so democratic socialism's okay? It's still socialism. And the countries who have actually, like Norway, they always cite Norway as being, oh, Norway. But Norway tried it, and they backed away from it. Now, they still have a lot of social programs. But the way it's been done now is very different. It's they've gone back to a capitalist system. Now, however, here's the fallacy about the whole capitalist system as well. The capitalism that exists is a corporatism. In other words, there are politicians who are in the pocket of these corporations, and they are controlled and manipulated by the regulations and the taxes and all the things that they do, and the powers that be make legislation to favor them, to make or break certain companies and individuals. This happens even on a state level. I saw it happen personally to my nephew who was starting a business, and all of a sudden the state got involved in regulatory issues with this particular industry he was involved in, and they decided that all these things had to be complied with. Well, there was only one company in the entire state that just so happened to be complying with all these regulations, all these stipulations that had to be in place. There was only one company doing all that. Guess what company ended up being the only one who survived the legislation? Everybody else was shut down overnight, and the other company took over all the other businesses, and the only ones that were able to stay away, to stay alive, were the ones who went to them for the product. So they had to buy the product from them and then label it license label it under their name. Guess who was making a fortune on that? And guess who gave to the campaigns of those who voted it in? That's the way that stuff works. And it happens even in the local levels. And even more so in the national levels, because it's actually a regular business. I mean, all the lobbying and all the other stuff that goes on is actually institutionalized there. It's an accepted practice. It's not even done under the table anymore. That's what we're dealing with, folks. I mean, you have big pharma, you have big food industry people, energy sector, military industrial complex, education, unions, all of them lobbying against individual rights in most cases. So we have to deal with this stuff. And I think that maybe Trump is putting together a plan. And I hope it's not something that is going to be detrimental. This is the problem, is this, the pendulum can swing. Now, if Trump realizes, well, the president just needs more powers, we need to do this, we need to do that, somehow we need to save the country. Hopefully he doesn't. You see, the problem, and this one interview I saw, that they were talking about, I think it might have been Will Cain, and it was talking about how the powers that be, those who don't get elected, they're there all the time. The James Comeys, the Christopher Wrays, the intelligence individuals, all those people who are there all the time, regardless of who's in office, they kind of define the banks of the river that the current administration has to wade within. So they can only control so much, but all these bureaucrats around them will say, well, like the president will come up with some new idea. Well, let's do this. Let's take this path and let's go down this road. Well, because of the constraints of, this and that, if we do this, it'll affect all these other things, and we really need to stay within the bounds of this. All of his advisors will, if they're all establishment people who are being protected by all the people around them, they think that this is just the norm. This is the tradition. We have to stay with this. So in many cases, in many ways, the presidential executive branch is hemmed in by all these bureaucrats around them. So there's not as much leeway and freedom, within the executive branch as you think. Now, the president is the executive over the executive branch. He is in charge of the executive branch. He's not in charge of the country, which I think Obama was probably the first one who kind of made this declaration that if I issue an executive order, it's law. And here it is, and it stands. And I can, by fiat, I can just do this and declare it so. There were other presidents who did some of that, but it wasn't nearly to the extent that Obama did, in the way that he affected people's lives beyond the executive branch. But that's what it's becoming, folks. The presidency is getting more and more power. And what I'm concerned about is that Trump may come back with this idea that he's going to try to usurp power to do a good thing, and in the process, possibly damage the co-equal checks and balances that we have in our system. And so the whole thing is a little bit concerning in that respect. Even though he means well, this has happened many times before. If you remember, it was back in 2007 or 2008. When George Bush II famously said, "Well, we need to abandon capitalist principles in order to save them." No, you don't do that. Who's really in control then? If it's not really a capitalist thing, you're stepping in and usurping your powers over them. In other words, you have power over them. Government can't fix that kind of stuff. All they can do is take more control of it and make it worse in the long run. Power that the government gets, they never give up power. If they encroach and get power over something, they never let go of that power. 99% of the time, it is there forever. And it just keeps getting bigger. Look at the IRS. Well, now we need to double the size of the IRS agents. We need twice the agents that we have. We need to give them a budget that's more than we've given some foreign countries. Actually, the budget now for the IRS is now greater than some countries. In fact, the number of people in the IRS is larger than many nations' armies. And it's larger than some nations. There are some countries that are smaller than the IRS now is going to be. Yeah, that's going to go well. Well, folks, being that it's Friday, it's the end of the week, I do want to make some comments about some positive things that have happened. Looking back on this week, on the primaries and that kind of thing, we're making some progress here. I think we have some people who are, if nothing else, they are not the establishment folks. And that's all I care about. I don't really care how well they govern or anything. I don't care if they can't do anything. I'd rather that they don't do anything at all than continue to do all the manipulation and all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes with these people. Now, recently we lost our congresswoman here in Indiana, Jackie Walorski, to a very strange car accident. Strange in that it was almost a freak accident kind of thing. Still not really sure exactly what happened there. However, tragically, four lives were lost in that process. Jackie and two others in her car, and she wasn't driving. And then the lady that they hit, who was a little bit younger than I am, struck down. And so the process of replacing that office is in process right now. It's, of course, now Jackie can't be replaced, but the office needs to be restored. That person will be running then for, they're going through a caucus process because it was after the primary, too late in the primary to put someone into the primary. So they had, they'll have a caucus and that person will take over and also be the running in the general for next year. So the party will decide in a caucus. I'm not sure about how that whole process works, but I think I can participate in it if I wanted to. But it's not a normal process for the way things work. So, having said all that, there is a wave, I think, of what the left would call scary people that they think we're going to lose our democracy over because if people vote them in, that means we've lost our democracy. I don't know how that works, but somehow that's, we're going to use a democratic process to elect these people, and in the process we lose our democracy. Now, if socialism is the end of our democracy, by the way, collectivism is not what our democracy, what our republic was based on. It has nothing to do with the foundation of our nation. And if you continue to go down the socialist path, which is what the Democrats want, you will lose our republic. Democracy is an absolute, a pure democracy is an absolute atrocious, it's atrocious. It's a very evil thing. And a purely democratic process. Because 51% of the people can vote to kill the other 49%. That's a pure democracy. Well, no, you have the right to life. No, they can vote away your right to life. That's what a pure democracy is. You don't have any rights as an individual. God bless everybody. Have a great weekend. Shabbat shalom.